Welcome to Pastor Aggressive Podcast, real life,
real faith, real talk.
Today we have our good friend, Dr. Matt Murphy, with us again.
Yeah.
This is the second or third time you've been
Second time.
Second time. Yeah. Awesome. I love that. We're really glad to have you with us. We weren't sure what we were going to talk about, but you were here visiting AJ, our friend from Honduras, missionary, came to speak at my church today, so... you came to see him.
My church. He thinks he owns that
church. Our church. The church. I don't know. But he came to speak at church, and we had several guests come to see him, and you were one of them. And we made you made time before you're getting ready to leave for the Philippines for 27 years. What is it?
4 years for sure.
Okay. So that's exciting, uh-huh. And we just weren't sure what we were going to talk about until we went to lunch, and you came up with an idea.
I'm excited about the idea, but first, Warner and AJ killed it today in the co-sermoning.
For real.
It was so good.
Thank you.
And they took the text, they went through the text, but also shared stories from Honduras.
What was it, Acts 16?
Yeah.
Yeah, 6 through 34, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was so good. Warner would read a passage, and then about Paul and the journey and getting shut off at some places, and he would talk a little bit, and he's like, AJ, when did you experience this? And it was just really good. I mean, it was like a typical sermon of using illustrations, but now you have a dude who's living in Honduras and who has for 13 years. Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm glad that you enjoyed it because I was not sure. I've never done anything like that before. So I was not sure how it was going
to
go.
Just a side note to further my Catholic agenda. I saw this in Acts 16:31, right? It says, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. This is after the guy says, sir, what must I do to be saved?
Yeah.
They say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. And so, like, Baptists read that and they're like, just believe, right? And then it says, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just saying, bro.
Baptism. Him and his family all believed and then partook in believers' baptism.
What's the Catholic agenda here?
Baptism saves, bro. Like, what? Like, the dots aren't aligning here?
What I love about that passage is about the family was saved, and it was under his leadership, and that's what's
christening.
Missing. That's what's missing oftentimes in the world, not just American church, just the world, is like the head of the household, whoever they may be, is not like taking charge and saying, this is where we're going with our faith, you know? And I think we do that often where the head of the household will say, hey, this is where we're going with our faith, and it's to watch football on Sundays, or it's to do whatever our passion may be. Not saying that those things are bad, but when that is where we're headed only, and that's our primary focus, it becomes a problem. And instead, he's like, no. This is where we're going. We're going to life. We're going to be saved. We're going to salvation in Jesus. And what do we have to do? And it's like, oh, well, when you get saved, the natural reaction and the natural response is to be baptized. And it's just that, like, one event. And so they go get baptized. And they're like, here we are.
Yeah.
What you're speaking on is such a hindrance to the children, too. Because imagine you have a dad who is a Christian. He goes to church, right? But he's, like, more focused on football or focused on basketball or focused on these other things. Where it's like, as a kid, you're not dumb, right? You see where your parents' priorities lie, and it's just a hindrance, man.
The only sport I care about now is banana ball, ever since we talked about it at lunch.
What is banana ball?
Savannah Bananas. It's basically the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball, but that's for another time.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. It's
faith-based, though. Well, the owner.
Yeah, a lot of guys are Christian on there. Yeah. The owner will say, he's like, a lot of people compare us to Harlem Globetrotters. We're different because it's actually competitive.
Right.
That's where the difference is.
Correct.
Harlem Globetrotters, I think, have only lost once, and that was an accident.
Yeah, and they're not, like, getting on scooters and riding Vespas through the... anyway.
But back to the topic today of... And I wanted to tie that in about where is your family headed and where are you guiding them? Because the title, as you saw on the podcast, is does everyone have a moving buddy? And this comes from Toy Story, for those of you who are old enough. I'm patting Zach, because I told him at lunch, I said, hey, the title is, does everyone have a moving buddy? And he's like, and I said, if you don't have one,
Get one.
It was worse than that. Everybody was laughing, and I'm just like looking dead-faced at everybody trying to figure out what's going on. And like usual.
Warner reminded me. He's like, that movie came out before Zach was born. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, Zach was... So Toy Story came out in...
96?
96.
Yeah. Wow.
Zach was
2003.
Born in 2003. So
oh, okay, cool.
He's born around the time of like Toy Story 3, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
I already had the movie memorized by that time. Yeah,
right.
So
right.
I was never a Disney kid, though. Like, I was watching Family Guy and American Dad and stuff.
Wow. So
where's your family headed?
Similarly, though, we've got some young folks in our worship team now, and today Cole led a worship set that was all like 90s music.
It was good.
Super fun for me. I really enjoyed it. He didn't give them their music until today because he's like, oh, surely they'll know this.
Yeah.
And then he's like trying to explain it to them. They're like, we've never heard these songs before. And he's
like, you have all these young people.
He's like, what? And he's like, oh, yeah, these were all written before you were born.
To be fair, your mom turned to me and she said she didn't even know the first song. And she's like 78 or 92 or whatever.
Julie, we love you.
I love you.
I don't know if I really knew the first one. I knew the chorus, but when you went into the other parts, I wasn't super familiar with it. But
I think in like youth camps when we were in youth group, they would probably just sing the choruses.
Yeah.
Now they got that church clap, boys. Let me hear that church out there. Clap. Church.
Yeah.
Anywho.
So Moving Buddies.
Moving Buddies.
Before we get into that, though, I do want to mention, you mentioned that text about the families and the head of the household. And that tied into a question I asked AJ, and he talked about how in Honduras, the culture is that the dads are the ones typically that don't go to church. Like, the mom will take the kids.
Yeah.
And he said it's cool to see whole families going to church from the kids learning about Jesus, and then the whole family comes along.
I wonder if that's just Latino culture, and I don't know for sure.
I think he said that it was typically. Yeah.
I have a friend that I used to do construction with who's a Catholic, and his family goes to church on Sundays, but every Sunday he's working. Every single Sunday he's working instead of going to church. And I ask him, every time I see him, I'm like, you've been to church lately, man? He's like, no, I need to go. I'm like, okay, bro, whatever, dude. But I think it's a Latino thing, which is interesting.
It could be the you got to make money.
Yeah.
And in those cultures where it's like, if I'm not picking pineapples, I'm not feeding my family.
If I'm not working, then that means time not spent working is time not making money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It could be that, but it is good when that whole family, and as AJ talked about in Honduras, it came out of doing VBSs and teams coming and those kinds of things for the kids, or at the children's home or the education programs, these kids hearing about Jesus, and then they go home and they say, hey, Dad, Mom, like, listen to what cool thing I found, you know, and now the parents are going to church. It's really cool.
So can we just start, like, from the base? Like, explain to us why you're going to the Philippines, or why you even had the idea, or what's going on with that?
Yeah. So when – it's really cool. When AJ and I first went to Honduras in 2010 – I had never heard about the Philippines at that point. Like, I mean, maybe I'd heard about them because I paid attention in high school, but like, I didn't really know the cool mission opportunity that was there and existed in the Philippines. We both go to Honduras, and you know, he's like, I'm going to move over here. And I'm like, that's cool. My goal is to live and work in a place where I'm sending out missionaries. That was always my goal. And then we go to Honduras together. We come back, finish college. He goes on an internship to Honduras. I do an internship in the Philippines at a place called General Baptist Bible College. And when I get there, I see that there are all these college students who are longing to be trained and be sent out on mission and to mission wherever it may be, here, there, and everywhere. And so that was in 2011. And over the past, you know, decade and a half now, I've spent my life trying to empower people from where they are to go on mission. So the Philippines, that is like the epitome of what the leaders currently at our college there in the Philippines want to do. They want to train up our college students we have currently around 100 college students. We want to train them up and send them to hard to reach places, whether that's one of the 7,000 islands in the Philippines where they're hard to reach, because over 50% of the Philippines is mountainous, hard to reach. And nearly 5 million people in the Philippines still live in tribes that have never heard of Jesus. So can we send
5 million?
Yeah. It's 5%. It's 5%. There are 100 million people there.
Oh, my goodness.
So 5 million people live in tribes that don't – either they've never heard about Jesus or they don't have access to Jesus. Sure. That means there are no churches in their language or in their village or whatever. It's just insane to think about. So how can we send our graduates into those places? And then after that, how can we send our graduates – into hard to reach places throughout Southeast Asia. And so that's because, again, my whole thing has been I want to train up people and teach them how can we go into other places and share the love of Jesus.
Yeah.
Because something our family is very passionate about is fairness. We value fairness. So for the past several years, I think I probably mentioned the last time I was on here, we were raising money for clean drinking water in developing countries around the world because we love drinking water. That's what we love. And so it's only fair if we have water, you should have water. Sure. The other thing that we think is pretty cool is eternal life in Jesus.
Yeah.
And like I have access to it. Why doesn't everyone?
Yeah.
And it's only fair if other people do as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't go to every country. I don't have time to do those things. But I can work at a college where they're training 100 graduates, and I can help train and empower them to send them out to go into these hard-to-reach places and have more of an impact than I could ever have. And it's really the biblical model what Jesus did. You know, he's like, hey, I'm going to send you guys out and do this thing and change the world with it. So when they asked us last year if we'd be willing to do that, I was like, absolutely. Like, this is something we've been waiting for, and we always thought we were going to raise our kids overseas, but we thought it was going to be more when our kids are a little older.
Yeah.
That's just what we thought. We also had a dog who was helping us raise money for water projects, and we thought it was going to be after the dog died. But then, like, it just sped up, and it's really cool because now our dog went to another church, and she's doing ministry. It's just been really, really cool, and the Lord has shown us time and time again of how his timing is better than our timing.
Yeah.
Do you think your dog will be in heaven?
I don't think so.
So I think we actually have talked about this on a podcast, and this is a question I got when I did a questions for pastor one time. I don't want to get all theological and upset somebody or not, but I used to be very much like, no, probably not.
Uh-huh.
But then I also know that in the new heaven and new earth, like there's mention of lions and lambs laying together. Yeah. So there are animals.
That's fair.
I'm not sure. I can't tell
you. You think it's
sure.
literal lions and lambs laying together?
In that sense, it is, because it's not talking about the characteristics of Jesus being both the lion and the lamb. It talks about multiple lions and multiple lambs peacefully laying together.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So I think there's probably something there. Uh-huh. I just don't know.
So in the Philippines, is it considered like a third world country?
It's definitely a developing nation.
Yeah.
It could be. I don't know where it ranks in there. I think probably there's a lot of poverty in the Philippines, a lot of tribals that are sort of like unreached, you know, that kind of thing. So I guess it would still be considered that way. But where we're going is like a city, you know, they have malls, they have stores. They have
grocery stores, hopefully, because that's one concern you have.
Yeah, I was telling them, I was like, man, I was out there packing our bags last night because we recently found out that we had too many suitcases to take. We have boxes that we're sending to, but like the suitcases that we're allowed to take on the plane, we have too many. So we had to like narrow it down. And as I'm worried about all these things getting into my suitcases, that's when I thought of this title for the podcast. But then I also thought, we're going to have to eat when we get there. Like, where's the grocery store? We don't have a car. Oh, man. I got to go exchange my U.S. dollars for pesos. Like,
pesos.
Whew, different kind, but yeah.
Okay.
but so it's just like all this stuff that exists when moving anywhere. And it's not just moving to the other side of the world. It's just any move like this becomes stressful. Because if you're moving to a different county, you're like, wait, who's going to watch my kids? Because my parents aren't around anymore.
Right.
So if you're taking your kids away from their grandparents, whether it's a different state or a different country, like there are all these things that go along with it. And you're just like, oh, man.
So how did you know that this is what God was calling you to? Were you sure at some point? Was there a point where you were sure? Or is it just like a sequence of events that
was there a
up?
Point where you were for sure?
For sure.
The biggest one, and this is for me. So I've mentioned this before. AJ and myself and one of our friends put together this book about missionary calling stories. And in one of those stories, one of the guys referenced the Acts passage where Paul and Barnabas were sent out by the local church. And he referenced in his calling story when one of the church leaders told him, like, hey, you need to be a missionary to this place. And he's like, okay, I'll pray about it, but I really see that. Like, if this guy is truly being led by the Spirit and he's talking to me, I'm going to take his words as much higher than other words because he sees that the Holy Spirit's using him to talk.
Yeah.
And so that just really started resonating with me. And then when I was asked for our family to move to the other side of the world, my wife had literally just had a baby, like 12 hours yeah. before when I got mm-hmm. the text message. And so I didn't tell her right away for obvious reasons. So I'm praying about it and thinking about it. And since the director of the mission and my now boss in the Philippines both thought of me, that's the first step. And I'm like, okay. So I'm praying about it before I tell Victoria. And then the Lord gives me this guy in my head to ask. And he's like, hey, you need to call this person. And I did the same thing before I moved to Saipan as well. Somebody popped into my head and I really said, I'm going to ask this person. And whatever this person says, I'm going to do that thing.
Wow.
And so that happened in Saipan and it worked really well. I'm so thankful we went to Saipan. Through that, I got to meet my wife. We fell in love. Like, it was just, Saipan was a great time for us. And so this, a similar thing with this. I said, well, this guy popped in my head. I'm going to call him and pretty much whatever he says, that's what I'm going to do. And wow. I called him and he was like, yeah, I've always thought you'd be the perfect missionary for there. And I'm like, all right. So I waited a week and I'm praying about it. And when I tell Victoria, yes, I waited a week and she has a week old and we had a 2-year-old at the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, honey, these people have asked us to move to the Philippines. And I was like, all right, what's she going to say now? You know? And she said, well, I've never wanted to tell God no. Yeah. And that was basically it.
Yeah, that's so good.
Because I just knew that, like, the Lord had been speaking to me. This guy had confirmed it. Victoria was like, all right, let's do it. I know her heart for teaching college students. I know her heart has always been for global missions. And we had talked about, you know, at some point. And, of course, we thought, oh, when our kids are older or whatever. We thought it was going to be a few years down the road. But the Lord's like, no, now is the time. And it was just really perfect because the things they need to fill there at the college are the things that I'm passionate about. They're needing a college professor, which is what I've been doing here. They need someone to start a multicultural church, which is something I love doing. AJ was a part of the multicultural church in yeah. Honduras, and I loved visiting and being there. So I loved that. And then they also need an elementary coach for the basketball program that they use for ministry. And I've just nice. Always loved sport. It's just so cool. And like, it's one of those things when he told me, hey, these are the things that we need. And I'm like, if I say no, I'm like, I'm an idiot because it seems too perfect. Yeah. You know, it just seems too perfect. So, of course, you pray about it and you think about it. But, and I'd already sort of been thinking like, well, maybe we need to leave before we had originally thought. And here's the big one. So you ask, like, when were you for sure? So we had this dog and she's 7 years old now. And I'd been doing ministry with her for 6 years. We've raised tens of thousands of dollars, seen over a dozen wells dug in India, West Africa, Honduras. We've seen cool things happen. And I'd always said, I could never leave Water the Dog. Like, it would just hurt me to, like, I can't picture her dying or whatever. And then, like, once we said, yes, we're going to the Philippines, knowing that Water the Dog's not going with us.
Yeah.
And then it just went away. Just like the desire to be with Water the Dog, like, it just went away. And then another church said, oh, we would love to have her. And this family would love to take her. And this 14-year-old kid would love to be her handler. And I've always loved empowering younger people. Yeah. And this 14-year-old kid's like, this is what I want. This is the ministry I want. It was just God's like, I took care of it.
Yeah.
I took care of it. Like I said, I always would. And it's like, oh yeah, he did promise that.
Yeah. There's this goofy, and I hate like, Christian idioms that are not really like from the Bible, mm-hmm. but there's this
God one that, won't give you too much that you can't yeah. handle.
Or this one that people like to say is like, if it's God's will, it's God's bill.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. that is cheesy, but it has never been proven wrong to me. Like
yeah.
God always provides for whatever he uh-huh. calls us to. And even if that's like, even not just the finances, but the desire, even he yeah. will provide that if it's what he's calling you to.
Bro, the first time I went to Honduras, I don't know if you remember this, but like I can't remember the exact numbers, so I'm just going to freeball it. Whoa, never yeah. mind. sorry. So say I had $1,200 and I needed $2,000, right? I remember my friend Braden, he came to me, it was my 21st birthday. He brought me a bottle of whiskey and a check. The check was exactly $800, the exact amount of money that I needed to go on the mission trip. I had no way of getting it. I had no idea where I was going to get it, and I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
But it landed in my lap,
yeah.
literally.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I wanted to go back to something you said, though, Matt. I know I don't want to totally derail us, but you were talking about fairness and people not being able to be reached with the gospel. It's like I had an opportunity to grow up in a country where that's very prevalent.
To our own detriment sometimes.
That's sometimes, I think, an excuse that people make for why they don't think, like, they think that Christians are hateful for sharing the gospel and, like, forcing their beliefs on somebody else. It's like, oh, just because you grew up in this part of the world, then your thing has to be right or whatever. But that is, like, the truth of it. And it's like, this is not a hateful thing that I'm saying that your, whatever your beliefs are, is wrong. It's like, the gospel is for everybody, and I want you to have the opportunity of the gospel.
Key. Yes.
And that's I think that's, it gets so twisted sometimes. People are like, oh, you're forcing your white religion on this culture. Yeah. It's like, no, this is for everybody, always was.
Yeah.
I'm fortunate to be born in a country where it was predominant.
The big thing, so if you know and you're up to date with missions, America is ever growing as one of the most unreached nations in the world.
Really?
Yes. But an unreached being loosely, because the difference in other countries is especially like these 5 million people in the Philippines who don't have access to it.
Yeah.
In America, we technically still do have access to it. Now, there are certain subcultures that might not feel like they have access, and so that's why it is important for other nationalities to plant in, you know, indigenous or international churches in cities and things like that. So I get that. But there are still churches all around. You have the freedom to Google whatever you want without getting arrested.
Right.
You can watch YouTube videos. You can listen to Forrest Frank. Like
you can watch as much Wes Huff videos as your heart can.
Do you know Wes Huff?
I don't think
so. Bro.
I need to.
His videos are good.
Hit that stuff. Subscribe button. Yeah. But that's possible in the West, and it's not always possible in other places around the world.
Yeah.
And that's why it's like, it's only fair, not that we indoctrinate them or ruin their culture or whatever,
but it's
only fair that they have the opportunity and the access to Jesus. Yeah. Now, what they do with that is unfortunately up to them. But I say unfortunately, but also we have free will, and that's great.
Yeah.
That's
very Arminian of you.
I know. I was trying to slide it in there. See if these Calvinists here club me on the back of the head.
The hard part about that culture thing is, like, you hear of, like, Mexican Catholics, for example, who bring in, like, Mexican tradition of, like, the dead people and this and that. I can't remember. What is it? Mardi Gras or whatever?
Dia de Muerto. I mean, that's its own thing.
Quinceañeras or something like that.
Quinceañeras are not about
different
death.
Thing.
Not about death.
But we do that in America, too, where we like, mix country music and, like, farming and country stuff into our Christianity.
Yeah.
And it's like those things are like, your culture is now Christ. Your culture is now the church and what the church has taught for thousands of years. Which, I mean, we're Protestant, so that's kind of a hard bet. Isaac, if you're listening, don't text me. Just kidding. Where do you, just hearing you talk, like, me personally, I'm like struggling on figuring out where I want to be serving God, right? How are you so confident? You seem so confident in just like, almost knowing what to ask or how to answer. Where do you think you draw your confidence in God from?
The first thing that comes to my mind is 14 years of being an idiot. You know, like, I went to the Philippines.
Warner knows about that.
I went to the Philippines when I was 21, and it's like, you know, what was I doing for the next 14 years? Obviously doing things, but like AJ, he just went and he did it.
Yeah.
So for me, one of the things, and of course, it's not like I would take things back or whatever, because I met my wife, and, you know, I was able to go to school and get the degree that I needed to be able to qualify to teach at a university, like at a college. So obviously I needed to spend so many years in college, but having the 14 years of experience, that definitely helps, because I'm like, I don't want to miss the opportunity this time around. You know, I don't want to miss it. So that's one of the things. The other thing that's really big for me, and always has been, and I mentioned it in the book, and just something the Lord has shown me throughout, but really showed me in the book. So I interviewed 34 people about their calling stories and how they were confident. And the one thing, so I wanted to title the book, I Said Yes, or something like that. And it was going to be all about the what they did. But then in hearing all of these interviews, they didn't really talk about what they did. They talked about where they were and who God was in the midst of it.
Yeah.
And I saw that that was more important. It wasn't about them saying yes. It wasn't about them. And of course, sometimes they would insert that they got away to pray and they fasted or whatever. But it was more so that they were in a place of readiness and willingness to serve God.
Yeah.
And then followed God's faithfulness. And that's where our family got to. Our family said, hey, we want to be in a place where we're serving God, wherever that is. And we want to trust God with everything. And we want to do hard things. We want to be willing. We want to step out of our comfort zone, whatever those words are. And this is what we're going to do where we are. If that's serving in Wirt County, Indiana, if that's serving in Nebraska, wherever it is. And then God just said, hey, this is an opportunity. And I have one of the guys in the book, he was a teacher for years in the States, and there was an opportunity for him to teach in Guam. And then there was an opportunity for him to start one of the Bible colleges in the Philippines, in the mountains. And so he said, I wasn't really called to be a missionary. I just took the opportunities that I was given. Mm-hmm. And he said, and my life was all the better for it. Mm-hmm. And when I heard that story, that's one of the things that like started clicking in my head about 8 months before I got the text message of like this thought of like, if I'm a teacher here, I can be a teacher anywhere.
Yeah.
And you know, I can go whenever. So that's really this, where this confidence comes from. It's not what I do, but who my God is right here and who he is for me when I'm teaching and what my job is. My job is just to share the gospel. And if it's to share the gospel while I'm teaching at a college here in Indiana, that's what I'm going to do. If it's to share the gospel in the Philippines, that's what I'm going to do.
Share the gospel at the Miami airport.
That's what we're going to do, right? And that's one of the things that's really cool about short-term mission trips is you get to have those experiences. And I know for those of you who listen to the podcast, you've heard these guys talk about the Miami airport experience. And that's one that I go back to often.
Yeah.
About we all signed up to go on a mission trip to share the gospel. And God's like, hey, I'm going to get you stuck in the Miami airport for 12 hours. And you could be ticked and you could be upset and you could be like, well, everything's going to be ruined and AJ's going to be waiting in the dark. Now we're going to be driving back through Honduras in the dark. Isn't that going to be safe or whatever? And you're like, whoa, what did we sign up on this trip to do? When we got out of the van in Indianapolis, what did we say we were going to do? We're going to share the gospel.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like.
That's in Miami or it's in Honduras or wherever it is. Yeah.
Praise God, man. That word you used, willingness, is something I've been struggling with lately, because coming into the faith, I was so willing to do anything, but you kind of get comfortable. And new news, this isn't about me, but yesterday I got news that I was getting evicted. And I've kind of been too comfortable, like just waiting. I wasn't willing to do whatever God was wanting me to do. I stopped seeking that. And I think there is a part in the free will that we play where we have to seek God. Mm-hmm. And when you're seeking God, you got to be willing to do what God is asking you to do, or sometimes putting you in the position to do. That's something I'm struggling with working through. So how long are you going to the Philippines?
It's a 4-year contract. You'll come back. We'll come back at the 2-year mark just for a couple months to hang out and visit some of our partner churches and things. But a 4-year contract, and we could end up staying longer. But one thing that we have really seen through this is that we love it, the same thing we've always loved. We love empowering people to go do things and go for God. And Filipinos, there are around 100 million Filipinos living in the Philippines, and 10 million not living in the Philippines because they go as foreign workers. They, you know, many of you may know a Filipino. You're like, oh yeah, my aunt or somebody, this guy married a Filipino. And so they'll go and they'll work. They'll go and be helpers in different countries. So they go. So it's very convenient to work with Filipinos.
Interesting.
And there are communities here in America where we could work with Filipinos. So we might come back here and work with Filipinos. We might stay in the Philippines. There are all the islands like Saipan, Palau, all those have a lot of Filipinos. They're working in the tourist industry. So we might go back to one of those. But or we might work with another people group who can be sent out. You know, but we just know that empowering people has always been a call for us, whatever, however long that is and wherever that takes us.
Makes me think of like building a foundation. Like what AJ is doing in Honduras, what the mission is doing in Honduras, is they're building a foundation on Christ, like how he says, not on sand, but our foundation is in Christ. You know, he's starting them young, knowing about Christ, and they're going to take that the rest of their lives. Same thing with the Philippines. These people are going to go to other countries as a helper, or like you hear the corny stories about people like marrying a girl from the Philippines because they're their maid or something like that. But that's real. You know, if you're a maid and you're in somebody's house, it's what I do now in apartment maintenance. When I'm in somebody's house, I like have almost like free reign to now tell them about Jesus, you know, spark up a conversation. So if you have that foundation, like what we're talking about, no matter where you're at, you're going to tell people about Jesus. You know what I mean? So I love that, man. I want to ask you a hard question that I've been thinking about. You said there's tons of people that are unreached, right?
Yeah.
Do you think people can be saved? Do you think God saves people who have never heard the gospel?
That's a real, as Warner would say, that's a deep question, or whatever his tagline would be.
Yeah.
John Stott wrote a book about Your Mind Matters. Have you checked out that book? It's just a little short, like pamphlet type book, 100 pages, Your Mind Matters. And in that book, he talks about this concept about like that your mind, subconsciously, we know that there's a God.
Yeah.
Like subconsciously, we have to. You look around. And so that would be the underlying thoughts, so without going like really deep into it, because the reality is I don't know. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it would be fair, and I think our God is a fair God, but I don't know. And I know that the only way to heaven is through Jesus, right? So at some point there has to be this reality that they know that Jesus exists, and it just becomes real tricky. So instead of me answering that question, what I'm going to answer is I'm going to do whatever I can to tell as many people I can about Jesus, because that was my command. My command was to go and teach as many people, and that's what I'm going to do. You got something for me?
Yeah, Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork."
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you're talking about, is that like all of creation
The rocks
displays,
are going to sing
of his glory.
It
displays the glory of God, and so it is a real thing. But we've even heard of like, you know, we hear stories sometimes about like Muslim people who have dreams about Jesus.
That was the next
and
thing.
Things
yeah.
like that, where like Christ is coming to them in a way that like he's coming to them in visions and dreams, and they're getting to experience him. And maybe that's because people around them are not fulfilling the call of sharing the gospel. So it's like, you know, that's where we get to be a part of that. Or if we don't, then his glory is going to be on display. But it's kind of a blessing to get to be a part of it. What do you think about that, Zach? What were you, seemed like you were going somewhere with that.
I just think, well, I mean, Matt had a politically correct answer, which I value and respect, but I don't know. You said God is a fair God. And I just think of, you know, what would be fair for us is hell.
That's true.
You're right.
So God was merciful on us by giving us Christ, by letting us know about Christ now in our time. But I don't know. I just know God is merciful. I know our God is merciful, and I'd be willing to go out on a limb and say that God is merciful on people who have never heard of Jesus but love God, because you know God whether you know Jesus or not, kind of like what you guys are talking about. Also, that psalm you pulled up is an argument for the flat earth.
Okay. All right, buddy.
Yeah. He's just ready.
Yeah.
So what are you going to be teaching in the Philippines exactly?
I'll be teaching just the stuff that I've been teaching here, which is basic Bible classes, hopefully some missions courses as well. I'll be teaching 3 classes there, and then my other responsibilities starting the campus church. And that's what's really cool about this General Baptist Bible College is, yes, there are 100 college students, but also there are over 600 students kindergarten through 12th grade. And excuse me, these kids come from all different backgrounds and like all different religious backgrounds, nationalities, and they come here because GBC is one of the top-rated private schools in the city. And so these parents are sending their kids there to this school, and they don't have a school on campus. They have a chapel that they use during the week, but they don't have something on the weekends. And they recently renovated the chapel and it looks nice. And they're like, hey, let's put a church there on Sunday. So we'll be the campus pastor during the week, meeting the parents, meeting the students, hopefully getting these students who are involved in our basketball program and involved in the ministry there because they hear the word at practice and before games. Now let's bring them to church, get them connected. And it's just, it's really, really exciting. So that's, yeah, it's just, it's cool. It's, we're so pumped.
What is the common like religion out there?
Catholicism would be the most popular one.
Those Catholics, bro, they colonized everybody, bro.
They did. Jiminy they Christmas. Did.
I always thought Baptist was pretty high up there, too, though, in the Philippines,
I
right?
I mean, it's yeah. popular, well, but Catholicism yeah. is definitely, like, the majority, overall.
Okay,
majority.
Dude, I might move to the Philippines with you, bro.
But then also on the island we're going, Muslim influence is pretty heavy, especially on the south portion because we're starting to get close to Indonesia and places. That's just geographical. So on our island, there is a Muslim influence. Even if they aren't like Muslim, there's still the influence of respect and honor and that type of thing. And then, of course, there are tribal religions that come in as well.
Sure. So when you're dealing with like Catholics or Muslims or anything, do you find it in your interest to like know about their faith to an extent so that you can minister to those people or understand their faith a little bit, or do you just not bother with any of that?
It is very helpful to know. What I prefer to do is not to know so that I can argue, which I think a lot of people do. They want to know so they can argue and attack it.
Shots fired at Zach.
But for me, I do want to know because I want to value them. I want to respect where they're coming from. They're a human and their past has value. But then I want to say, like, and maybe there is, okay, you think that there are multiple gods, or you don't think that Jesus rose, or this is why it's important that the resurrection is true, or whatever it may be. So it is important to know it, maybe to, maybe some people call it arguing. I just say it's important to know where they're coming from so that I can, you know, tell them about Christianity,
right.
tell them
What's
about
the
God I serve.
Yeah. Just some food for thought. We had a lot of conversations like this on the first mission trip about like just being a little harsher. You know, you're like a really nice guy. You're like the cleanest guy I've ever met. Like you're running in the mornings and reading and typing on your computer. And I'm like rolling out of bed snoring. There's this guy.
His standards for excellence are reading, running, and typing on computers.
So many of you probably got that covered too.
There's this guy, David Wood. Have you heard of this guy?
Yes. Yeah.
He was this guy. He was in prison, and he like, what is the word for people who feel no emotion?
Apathetic.
No, there's like a clinical diagnosis for it. Anyway, he felt no emotion. This guy like was having crazy thoughts. Killed his grandpa or something. Like beat his head with a hammer. Yikes. Goes to prison, and this guy he's in prison with is a Christian. And he starts reading the Bible so he can debate and argue with this other Christian, right, to prove Christianity wrong. He ends up becoming a Christian, and now he's an apologist towards Muslims. Now, I don't agree with everything he does, because he gets a little, like Sam Shamoon, he gets a little off the rails where he says disrespectful things and does disrespectful things. But he has a point where he says, like, some of these people are hard, and they want to debate. So if I can debate with them and prove their points wrong, he has won people over to Christ. I've seen it where he's won people over to Christ, and they're like, you know, I've been thinking about this debate I had with you. And it just, like, Islam just doesn't make sense to me. So just some food for thought. Not that I want you to be that way or anything, but I think there is a place in the right manner to debate and to argue, I suppose you could say.
This is very important because it calls out Warner's upcoming book. Warner has a book coming out.
I do.
Make sure you, you know, save that to buy it.
Through a Glass Darkly.
Yep.
Because for me, arguing, I'm like, why would we argue? Let's just be everybody at peace. Let's just all be good. And I have had a similar mindset about the concept of end times and Revelation. Like, who cares? Jesus wins, right? But Warner in the book reminds us of, yes, Jesus does win. But there are reasons why we need to remember that Jesus wins and the implications that come along that. And so I was very thankful that I got to read the book and write the foreword for that because it's great. It's so important for us not just to know that Jesus wins, but why is it important to know that Jesus wins? And if we don't, then what could happen? And I think in the foreword, I talk about this. Oftentimes, I would just lean to the side of apathy with and just say, it's fine, it's fine. And I think a similar thing, like, let's just not debate. Let's just everybody get along and it's good. But there are times for that. And we need to find that balance.
For sure. When you wrote the foreword, that kind of gave me a good elevator pitch for the book, because it's hard to explain, like, that I'm writing a book about Revelation. Automatically, people are like, I don't really want to. But I'm like, it explains why we can't be apathetic about the end times and why we shouldn't be fearful of the end times. I think that's the easiest pitch, is that it gives us a reason to not be apathetic or fearful.
But also, one thing that the reason I'm often apathetic is because so many people are just so zealous about it.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is going to happen. And you weren't that either. You just found a perfect middle of peace.
Yeah.
And it was just great. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, it can kind of feel rebellious sometimes to be apathetic when people are like, And so you're like, I don't want to be like that, so I'm going to be like this. It's like, we need to find the middle ground there. Yeah.
Also, though, sometimes it's good to be that person. So, like, Matt, when we were in the Miami airport, he was like the person of peace. Like, he brought peace to everybody just because he was that
person.
That
wasn't me.
But this is the cool thing. This is the cool thing about the body. So oftentimes we're so like black and white, where it's like, this is wrong, this is right. But God's using different means of sharing the gospel.
Yeah.
All these people, the people who send out missionaries, people who are missionaries, people who are praying for missionaries, people who are missionaries at their job, at their everything they do. You know what I mean? So it's not, I don't see you as a missionary. I see you as a Christian, right? So when I'm around you, I see you as a Christian, not like some idolized missionary, because we're all Christians with different callings, different uses, and different meanings. You know what I mean? And we just kind of have to be careful with that black and white stuff. You know what I mean? I think
you're onto it. And that's what I tell people about, like, our vision, our mission. We're all called to do something, you know? And I think you would probably agree, for those of you listening, that we're all called. And sometimes the hardest calling is just staying.
Yeah.
And loving your family. Like, you know, we have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. So that's the hardest calling, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, our 3-year-old's like, I don't want to do that. And I'm like, I understand you don't want to, but you're going to. You know, like, and so loving patiently our family, whether it's our kids or our spouses.
Or our church.
Or our church people, our neighbor who keeps parking on our side of the grass, or who doesn't mow or doesn't weed eat. Like, it's difficult.
That's why I'm getting evicted.
But it can be difficult to love those people. And that's what God calls us. And what I really have seen is it's not about being called to the other side of the world, or called across the street, or called across the county, or whatever. It's called out of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
And that's what we're all called to do. We're all called to cross our comfort zone. And so for you, it might be actually talking to the person at the checkout counter and tell them about Jesus, or ask them about their day, or whatever. Like, you're like, oh, I could never do that. Well, that's probably what God wants you to do then, because he wants you to
start
get
somewhere
out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, that was totally my trajectory. I mean, the first time we went, I was scared to pray with people. Yeah, I mean, I got back and there was this lady in the line at Lowe's, Rita, I remember her name. And she was talking to me about something, and I'm like, can we pray? In the line with people behind me, people pointing and laughing at me, all types of stuff. And I don't know, I've just been on a trajectory of God's giving me these little challenges of my faith, and I grow off those, and they blossom into bigger things, you know what I mean? It's awesome to see the way God works, man.
Yeah, it's just great. For those of you watching, I wonder who watches this thing. Isn't Warner's shirt sweet?
Yeah, isn't that great?
these Honduran shirts here.
You're the only one not wearing them. You're wearing a Philippines hat, though. So
he is wearing
good.
A nice Filipino hat.
Yeah. Yep, gifted to me by Matt.
Yeah.
So when do you leave?
We leave August 15th. So I don't know
So
when
this episode will be out after you leave.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm already
crazy gone.
Are you guys going to be staying on campus?
No, we're staying just like maybe a mile or two away from campus in subdivisions. So in the part of town where we're at, it's just on the edge of town. So like the city that you would picture, it's a little inn. We're on the outside of it, and it's just basically a bunch of houses. It's a nice place to live. They're pretty subdivision-y type places.
Yeah.
So we're living out in one of those subdivisions there. So.
Is the infrastructure pretty nice out there? Like, do they have good water and all that?
The water is different. I mean, you can take a bath and, like, don't have to worry about it. Might get in your mouth or whatever. But, you drink the water out of the blue jugs like you would in Honduras.
Yeah.
They have Wi-Fi. Electricity is good. Of course, it can go out at some time.
Yeah.
Depending on the weather or whatever, your water can stop. Like, those are just things that happen wherever you're at. But, I mean, it's pretty civilized. It's good.
Do they deal with like a lot of storm stuff in the
They
Philippines?
Do deal with a lot of storms for two reasons. One, they just deal with storms because of where they are. The other reason is because, like I said, the Philippines has 7,000 islands. So for you to have 7,000 islands, that means that there's just a lot of mountains. Like that's what an island, like, is just protruding out of the water. So just very mountainous. Well, on the island where we're going to be, up north, there were a lot of mountains and a lot of rainforest, and it rains all the time there. Well, the logging companies came in.
And
you see where this is going. So now the rain just comes off the mountain and floods this low-laying city. Yeah, sure. So yeah, some of the villages in the city will get the water like over the head, you know, completely wiped out. Floods throughout the city on the streets. So those things, I mean, it's just the way it is when we work outside of the bounds of what God created and go in and unhealthily cut down trees. I'm not like a tree hugger or whatever, but like when we operate outside for our personal gain, then bad things are going to happen.
Yeah.
So, that's just one of the realities of it.
One of the things I wanted to mention too, while we're still talking about all of this, is, sometimes I think when we're talking about our call to ministry, and seeking wise counsel, is making sure that we're discerning the Spirit and that we're not just seeking one wise counsel. Now, you made a good choice. Like, I talked to these people, this presented itself, and then I found someone specific to talk to. But I think about Acts 20 when Paul is adamant about going back to Jerusalem, and the other disciples are like, we're getting from the Holy Spirit, we're getting that you shouldn't go to Jerusalem because it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. But then another guy comes, a prophet that's like not biased at all, and says, like he takes Paul's belt and he's like, whoever is going to, whoever's belt this is going to be bound and tortured for whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, so clearly that's talking about when I go to Jerusalem. The disciples were not wrong that Jerusalem was going to be dangerous. Uh-huh. That was from the Holy Spirit. They were discerning it wrong and assuming that the danger meant don't go. Uh-huh. And so how do you combat that? Because I think sometimes I know in the past I've been a voice of don't go to my friends in missionary situations, but probably looking back, it was selfishly for me. Like, I didn't want them to go because I didn't want them to be away from me.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't want them to go because the podcast is going to end.
So I like, how do you combat that and find the balance of how to talk to the right people and how to know what counsel is like wise counsel? Not because some people can just be discerning wrong in like that situation of, yes, the Holy Spirit was saying it will be dangerous, but that was more to prepare Paul for the danger, not necessarily to say don't go.
Yeah, for you, how did you combat it when you went to Honduras for the first time? When I ask you, hey, do you want to go to Honduras? And you're like, I don't know. Or maybe even the second time. This is a better question. When I'm like, hey, you're going to lead the trip. And you're like, I'm not going to lead the trip.
Yeah.
So how did you combat that fear and that thought?
Well, that's a good point. I don't know. It was...
throw it back at them.
I had people like you who were saying that you believe that was what God wanted me to do, and had full confidence that God was going to provide for that situation. So I didn't have really any dissenters, so to speak, that were like, oh, it's going to be too dangerous.
I see now, what you're saying. Yeah.
I will say this. I do with, you know, I get invited pretty regularly to Liberia and Pakistan. Mm-hmm. And there's several people in my church and in my corner that are like, those places are dangerous, don't go. And it's like, I need to maybe find out what that.
So one of
what
the
discernment is.
I mean, like you said, you just went, and we know, hearing the stories about your last Honduras trip, the Lord used you almightily. Like, crazy things were happening.
Yeah,
Zach was like, that's the craziest thing that's ever happened. And I'm like, I wish I were on the trip. You know, like it was great.
right.
But thinking about something that Victoria would say, or I would say on Victoria's behalf, because when we would do presentations at churches, you know, she'd be taking care of the kids or whatever. The Lord spoke to her, because a lot of people would say, hey, is it safe to leave your career here teaching at a college where you get paid money? Is it safe to leave your career and move to the other side of the world where you have to raise your money to teach? Is that safe? Yeah. Is it safe to pack up your kids every single weekend and go to a different church to raise money? Is that safe for your kids? Is it safe to move your family to Mindanao Island, which, although is nice now, historically the Muslim extremists have been prevalent on the island. Is it safe? And Victoria just was praying, and God spoke to her through The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and C.S. Lewis, where Aslan, representing Christ, and the beaver, and Susan's like, "Is I didn't know he was a lion. Is he safe?" And Mr. Beaver's like, "Safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. He's a lion. But he's good."
Yeah.
And he's the king, I tell you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so what I love about that word good is we see good, we see good in Genesis 1, of course.
Yeah.
And we also see the same Hebrew word that's translated to fine in Exodus 2 when Moses was born.
Yeah.
And Moses is born and they said he's a fine baby.
Yeah.
Now, track with me here. This word good in Genesis 1, where God creates everything perfectly, it was all created out of a formless void. It was nothing. It was dark. It looked dangerous, not safe for human life.
Yeah.
But God said it's good. And then a same thing in Exodus 2. A baby boy is born in Egypt where they're killing all the baby boys. Doesn't look quite safe, does it? But God says it's good. The word good means hope, future, promise. Hope is eternal. Future is the rest of our earthly life. And a promise is right now.
Yeah.
And so it might not look safe to go to Pakistan. It might not look safe to go to Liberia. It might not look safe for you to leave your job and go do another job, like being an apartment manager. That might not look safe.
Apartment maintenance.
Apartment maintenance, sorry. It might not look safe because what about money? And what about the lifestyle that I had, or the freedom I had, or the whatever it is? It might not look safe. It might not look safe for you to take your kids out of sports because you want to be focused in the local church instead. People are going to make fun of you. That might not look safe, but it's going to be good.
Yeah.
And if that's what the Lord calls you to do, do the thing. And that's what I'm so passionate about is, like, of course it isn't safe for us to move our family to the other side of the world, but it's good.
Yeah.
And it's better, right? Like, because of hope. There's going to be eternal significance because of our faithfulness. Not because of what we chose to do, but because of God using us. And same with you. There's going to be eternal significance when you take your kids out of sports and put them in church regularly. It's going to be eternal significance when you listen to whatever God is calling you to do. To be nice to your parents, to be nice to your significant other, be nice to your neighbor, be nice to your waitress when they're a jerk to you. Like, whatever it is, there's going to be eternal significance because it's good. That's the hope, eternity. Yeah. And you're going to be the future. The rest of your life is going to be better. Not like happy-go-lucky. Not everything's going to work. But God's going to be blessing because that's what he promises.
Well, it's about defining good the way God defines good instead of how we define good.
Exactly.
Because that's the same with like the verse that so many people take out of context constantly of God works all things to the good of those who love him. What does God see as good? What God sees as good, the only thing that God sees as good, is Christ-likeness.
Mm-hmm.
So he's working all things to our Christ-likeness.
Yeah.
Sometimes that doesn't feel good. Uh-huh. So I think that's so important. I love what you said because I think that really explains that idea of like, while it's not safe, it's good. And it may not even be the good that we think that good is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I feel like your faith is often stronger, especially when you're in an unsafe environment. When you're questioning or unsure and you just have to put your faith in God. It makes me think of that Lady Maria in Honduras. She could not have been in, like, she's probably the least safe person we've ever met in our lives in her environment, in her home. And she was the most joyous. She was praying for us. She was the most joyous, happy lady. And she was awesome. And it's like seeing that is like a testament to Christ-likeness.
Yeah.
I think. Is there anything you and your family are worried about going to the Philippines?
Whether or not they can get 13 bags instead of 15.
Okay. So I think we got into 13. I mean, those things do call. That's a good question. I was just like, stumped, man. Like, what do we worry about? There's so much we worry about. It does go back to what AJ was talking about at church today. It's like, you don't. you often don't tell people about.
Yeah,
you
know,
you
right.
don't tell the church about the things that you worry about, because a lot of the things are for me. Okay, it goes like twofold. You got your family that you are worried about, of course, but you also sure. have your ministry that you get worried about. So, like, what if, because I mean, think about it. You start a new job, you get worried about things.
Yeah.
What if the team, the camaraderie, just these things, you know? What if the car that I thought I was going to have isn't there? What if my landlord isn't as, like, you do get these thoughts, but then you just go back. And I'm just like, no, I prayed for months that the Lord gives us the house he wants us to have.
Yeah.
And we found it. All right. I've prayed for months and trusted that I don't need to worry about looking for a car beforehand. When we get there, we'll get it and it'll be good. And so, yes, there are things that come into my mind, but I just have to trust the Lord. And I know that's like a silly, just cliche Bible, but that's the reality.
No, that's, yeah.
And that's what you have to do, is you have to say, no, God has this, and he's guiding me cloud by day and fire by night.
Yeah.
And he is saying that I'm going to guide and direct and provide and protect.
Yeah.
And that's what he promises with the cloud by day and fire by night. He's guiding and directing, but also he's providing and protecting.
Yeah.
And so remembering that that's what he's promised us. He said, you follow me and I'll take care of it. Like, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow's worried about yourself. And I'm sure Victoria is like, I mean, you could worry about a little bit. Like, you yeah. can make sure. But I'm just like, because you could get worried about, well, what if one of the suitcases gets lost? What if? That would be terrible.
I imagine most people in any kind of relational interaction with Matt are probably... maybe not as extreme as me, but more like Victoria, where they're like, you maybe could worry a little more. You might not be worrying enough. But,
you might know, not
be,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny.
Because, I mean, those thoughts come in my mind, but
sure.
I just have to remember, he's never let me down.
Yeah.
And if all of my clothes get lost in a suitcase, luckily Victoria packed them. So she packed like clothes in all the bags.
Yeah,
so,
that's right? Smart. Yeah.
Smart.
That's very
She's smart.
I would never think of that.
Yeah,
that's genius.
She didn't just go all in. I would have packed all mine in one suitcase. Yeah. I'm like, that's mine. And she's like, okay, let's lose that suitcase and see what happens. Naked boy.
Now you've got nothing. Yeah. Now you've got no clothes. I've got all the clothes. You've got no clothes.
You can't fit in my clothes.
Like, yeah.
So
you're walking around in a sundress. But
yeah, the worry thoughts, and that's so true with anything. Like, oh, well, what if I run out of gas? Or what if... And a lot of those, for me, comes back to not... And I'm not perfect, of course. I make mistakes. But trying not to put myself in Jonah's shoes.
Yeah.
Right? If I didn't run away, then I'm not going to end up in the belly of a fish.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, yes, bad things still do happen. I'm not like saying everything's gonna be hunky dory. Like, but what I am saying, if I don't push the bounds and run away from Jesus, if I listen to him, I know that he's right there with me. And in Matthew 28, he says, all authority's been given to me, and lo, I'm with you always until the very end of the age.
Yeah.
And so that's the reassurance that keeps coming back to me, whether I'm on a plane to the Philippines or if I'm trying to teach at the local school. I wonder what most of the people listening, I wonder what they do for work. What do you think? Do you have guesses? Do you have demographics of what these
Ace Hardware.
No, you know, we have a pretty wide variety. I mean, it's a lot, yeah.
So yeah, whether you're working at Ace Hardware or you're in a band with Warner.
Or you're in a, they're teaching in a school.
Yeah.
Or,
so all of these things, it's about, like, because we can worry. What if a parent gets mad at me today? Well, there are certain things that we can do to limit if a parent's going to get mad.
Yeah.
But then, if the parent does get mad, or when, inevitably, when the parent does get mad, how are you going to respond?
Yeah.
And for me, I'm like, again, I'm not perfect, but it's like, okay, the fruit of the spirit has to come out. You know, for me, I don't really, never really deal with parents. I deal with grumpy teenagers, which might be worse. I don't know. It's like, okay, I can't respond with sass back. I have to love, joy, peace, patience. Like, let the fruit of the spirit come out.
Mm.
But I think that same question's good for Warner about, like, worrying. Let's think about leading the team,
yeah.
your last team or your upcoming team. People yeah. can sign up for the next March team. Yep. What are some thoughts and like when you have about leading these people? These people have entrusted, especially if you're taking teenagers
yeah.
on a trip or young people. These parents are entrusting you
yeah.
to take their kids.
Well, that's great. That's a new fear. I hadn't really thought about that. Thanks for unlocking that one. That hadn't really even yeah. crossed my mind yet.
All right, good.
Yeah,
we're getting out of the way sooner.
Think about it.
Yeah. I mean, there were definitely concerns with bringing someone who was older mm-hmm. on the trip before.
Yeah.
I was like, if something happens to him, like, how do we get him back? What do we do? Like, what's the emergency situation like here? Yeah. I have no idea. Thankfully, AJ does know and would know what to do in that situation. But, yeah, I think that you're onto something. Is like, what's the worst that could happen? We should maybe be prepared for bad things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But also know that, like, the worst thing is still, like, God is in control of that.
Yeah.
Whatever the what is the worst thing?
Mm-hmm.
God's in control of that thing. And yeah, that's...
Well, that's always the answer. It sounds like cliche, but it's just the truth. Like, God says salvation is mine. God says vengeance is mine. So in like all things...
yeah. Everything is
it. Yeah. yeah. It's like in all things, if I have an enemy or I think I have an enemy or somebody that's sassy with me, it's not my job to repay them with yeah. evil. I mean, yeah, Jesus yeah. specifically says do not repay evil with evil. God will deem justice. And honestly, what we should hope for those people... is that they would be saved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So God, and that's just like a small asset of it, but like everything, I kind of get pooed on for being like not caring enough or not worrying enough or not saving money or this or that. And even when I'm broke right now, like I'll tell people I'm broke and I'll tell somebody like a testimony of like this homeless guy that was mowing my lawn comes to me and he's like, hey, I fell back into addiction. I need to go to rehab. I need new deodorant, toothpaste, yada, yada, yada. And I just randomly had $20 or $40 or however much he asked me for in my pocket. You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know, just doing those things, being obedient, man, and just knowing that God's in control. Even if I don't have money, like I think I have money, I have enough money to do what God's calling me to do. You know
yeah.
what I mean? So
yeah.
he's always in control and always pushing us forward, man. Praise God.
That's awesome.
I want to ask a question. Do you have like a comment section? Do people comment on the podcast?
We try to get not people really. To ask
We've tried
questions,
to get people
nobody...
to ask questions or comment on the yeah. Facebook or email us questions.
They
no,
don't do that.
Not really.
I think
no.
one thing maybe they'll do it this time, or but at least think about, because the title of the podcast is "You Have a Moving Buddy."
Yeah,
and it comes from I was packing everything up, and Victoria had done a fantastic job of packing up 15 suitcases, and then with a week to go, we find out that we can only have 13 suitcases.
Yeah.
So now we're just getting rid of things, and I just think like, what if I got rid of the shirt that I wanted, and like in my packing at midnight last night, or unpacking and repacking, it's like, oh, I don't need that, and then 2 weeks from now, I'm like, oh, I need that. Where is yeah. it? You know, it's got to be here somewhere. And or one of Ruben's toys, or even worse, one of Ruben's toys that goes with another toy.
Oh, yeah.
So nightmare. Like, yeah, he has these like four-wheeler toys, and he yeah. has guys who yep. ride the four-wheelers.
Yep.
What if
a four-wheeler gets left and that guy's got to walk now?
Right. So that's why it's like moving buddy. And so you can think about that in this funny illustration of packing things in your house, because what I thought of last night is like packing is packing. You know, yeah. I often when people message me and I don't get back to them right away, I'm like, oh, they'll give grace to me because they know I'm moving to the other side of the world. Like they know I got a lot going on. And I'm like, wait a second. We all have a lot going on.
Yeah.
Right. Like we all have
yeah,
that big thing going on in our world. So I'm not trying to give myself like, okay, I give myself a few hours or days to respond. But like, I need to be more gracious to other people too, of when they don't respond back right away
yeah.
or they have something going on, because I go into the store and I'm like, oh, I'm thinking about me. And I'm like, oh, I'm having a grumpy day. I could be grumpy because I got to pack all this stuff up. And
yeah.
it's like, the person behind the counter might have a grumpy day too.
Yeah. I have no idea what's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I need to be thinking about that. So I thought about that when I was packing. But my other thought is, and this is a challenge for all of us, is who is your moving buddy? As yeah. we're going through life, and as we talked about your passage, Acts 16 of the family.
Yeah.
And as we think about the family and saying, hey, I want to make sure my family is baptized, my family is believing in the Lord. Who is that person that you're making sure, and obviously for parents, it's got to be your kids first and foremost, like that I'm taking my kids, or that together with our family, how can we say this is my moving buddy, and I want to make sure my kids don't get left behind. I want to make sure that my wife, that we don't get left behind. As we're busy every weekend, as we're packing things, are we still spending time with Jesus?
Yeah.
Are we still worshiping the Lord? Are we like...
Because, are we still serving?
Are we still serving? Yeah, that is so true. Yeah. Because I'm too busy trying to make sure my house is okay, and I'm too busy trying to raise money. Shout out if you want to partner with a missionary, yeah. Hit me up. But I'm
link that real quick. Where can they go to do that real
quick? Yeah, you just message me at matt.murphy@generalbaptist.com. If you message me, matt.murphy, and that's M-A-T. I just have three letters in my first name. matt.murphy@generalbaptist.com. Also, if you want to follow our journey, it's Murphy's on Mission. Murphy's on Mission. You search that up on Facebook. We'll in the future have a YouTube and maybe Instagram, but currently we just have Facebook. If you don't have a Facebook, don't get it just for this. It's not worth it. But if you do have a Facebook, Murphy's on Mission. That's M-U-R-P-H-Y-S.
You get to vote on what their cover photo is going to be. It's
already done. The vote's been.
The vote's
been, well, but they do but, it every month.
Yeah,
like,
we do different things.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we'll do different things every quarter, as far as engagement, because that's what we want to be engaged with
with your moving buddies.
With our moving buddies, right? But yeah, so Murphy's on Mission on Facebook. Go check that out. But that's my question for you. And if you have an answer and you want to message me, you can message me, matt.murphy@journalbaptist.com. Or Murphy's on Mission, message me and say, here is my moving buddy, and we'll be in prayer for you as you make sure that together you're moving, that you don't get lost. And like Zach said, that's so true, that we don't forget to serve, because we're so focused on doing all these other things. Like, are we still serving him? Are we still focused on him, or are we focused on packing our 13 suitcases?
Yeah. So I saw this interesting bit right before Jesus goes to the 5,000 to feed the 5,000. Who was it that died that he was grieving?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist dies, right? And he's going over this lake, I guess, or whatever it is. But he's going to grieve. He's going to be in a place of solitude, right?
Yeah.
And he gets to the other side of this lake, and he gets on the beach, and there's 5,000 people waiting for him to serve. And what does Jesus do? The Bible says he has compassion on them.
Mm-hmm. Because they're like sheep without a shepherd.
Yeah.
It was the very first passage I preached when I was filling the pulpit at the church I'm currently pastoring.
Oh, really? Wow. I thought I was the first one to notice that. thanks, bro.
Yeah. No,
that's cool.
But even in his grief and the stuff he was dealing with, he still served.
Yeah.
Man, that I need to take that, because like my grief of leaving our family, my grief of, you know, saying goodbye to my boots because they wouldn't fit in the suitcase, my grief, like we land there. And you got to have compassion. Like,
yeah, but the thing is, he still grieved, man. So I'm not saying don't grieve, don't have feelings, but like we're
you
still
can serve through it. Yeah,
there are.
And Warner's writing a book about that.
Your second book?
Yes, maybe. Yeah. Or yeah. I'm okay. I need to take a break because this first book was daunting. But yes, I have an idea for a second.
Isn't it so much fun? Yeah. Like AJ was just asking me at lunch. He's like, "All right, when's our next book coming out?"
Yeah,
Like, lots going on in my life.
Let me move across the world. First,
you said it's funny. You said on the way here, you were talking. You said, we're just super busy, but that's not the word we use. Yep. We say full.
We say
and
full.
I love that. That's really good. I do like that.
That's what we try to do.
Praise God, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. Maybe a question for another time. I just thought it'd be a funny way to end the podcast. General Baptist. Where does that fall on the scale of Baptist between Independent Fundamental and American Baptist?
Have you heard our podcast on the?
No, I didn't. I didn't hear that scale. Sorry.
No.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We don't have a scale, but we were talking about the Independent. What
Independent
Fundamental.
Independent.
Where they were like telling LGBTQ people to blow their heads off and stuff like
this
that.
This guy in Indianapolis did. Oh, yeah.
All types of craziness.
Okay. But we were just talking about like how there's Baptists that are like extremely legalistic and like are what the stereotype the of what people think of like hateful Christians, and then there's other Baptists who are just like just chill Baptists, and it's like there's a scale there somewhere, and there's all these different, like, I don't know if this is true, but I feel like as a Baptist that there's more different types of Baptists than maybe any other denomination in Christianity.
Baptists in and of themselves are not really denominations, and that's where a part of the problem comes.
Yeah,
because Baptists by design, are associations.
Yeah.
And so they have freedom and autonomy to do a little bit of what they want. Independent fundamentalists would be a little different.
Yeah.
But by and large, my understanding of Baptists is that they are just associations and they're groups. And here is just a brief little history of the General Baptist. Not that you care. but the brief... I pointed to the camera. So for those of you listening online, I pointed to the camera. Not for that the viewers actually care, listeners actually care. But here's the general... overview of General Baptist.
The General yeah. Baptist.
So they go back into Holland before, you know, we start settling into America. But for our little group or our little association, not so much a denomination, in the early 1800s, there was this guy, and he was a part of Baptists who came from Kentucky and southern Indiana. And he was a part of these groups. And these groups were Calvinists, and they believed... the 5 points, all yeah. about that. Well, he believed in general atonement, that Christ tasted death for every man.
Do you know Hebrews John Calvin 2:9. Believed that?
Yes. From my understanding, yeah. I know that John Calvin was not a Calvinist.
That's yeah.
that's what I know. Yeah.
But so our founder, wow, we skyrocketed, turned down the speaker on that one.
Yeah.
But our founder, Benoni Stinson, in the early 1800s, he said, hey, Christ tasted death for every man. So he went to his group, his association, and he said, I want to still be a group. I still want to be a part of this, but I want you to add one clause at the end, that my preaching of general atonement would not be a bar to fellowship with you.
Yeah.
That's what he said. And they said, we cannot add that to our list. And he said, okay. Disheartened and upset, he rode back on his horseback, and he said that he took the yoke of Calvinism off, and he said, I'll never put it on again, yeah. and he started his own group.
Hallelujah.
But what we see there is that for General Baptists, we really are founded on two things, that Christ tasted death for every person, and that there will be no bar to fellowship. So he loved partnering with other people, yeah. even if they have different opinions, as long yeah. as they're still biblical, but that everybody deserves the opportunity to hear about Jesus. Not that we deserve life, because we don't. We deserve hell, as Zach pointed out earlier. But that that Christ tasted death, and because of Christ's death and resurrection, we have the opportunity for life.
So very ecumenical. I love that. Yeah, that's awesome.
And so because of that, we aren't so much a denomination, but we're more of a movement or more of an association. And they're like, oh, well, what did General Baptist think about this? For the most part, we don't have a stance.
Yeah.
There are the basic things, of course, the tenets. You got to believe that Jesus is God. But like for a lot of the other outliers, it depends on what the association says.
Yeah, I love that. That's cool.
Yeah,
I do love that. We get so caught up in the minute disputes of theology and this and that, where it breaks fellowship, and I think that's a shame, man.
That's the first trip to Honduras we had. When I walk into that building, every time I think about those conversations we had, where your dad was just like, "I don't even want to talk. I don't even
like, check it out.
I'm not even listening to anything you guys are saying."
He's like, "All I know is when I get to heaven and that big projector's playing, then I'm going to say Jesus saved me," or whatever he said.
And then he's going to have some, he's going to be at the wedding feast of the Lamb and have chicken tenders. All right. Well, man, Matt, it's been so good to have you on here. I love this.
It is so good to just hang out with the boys.
Yeah.
You know, like, I wish one of your kids would come down here and trip and just delete the whole thing so we'd have to do it again. Just like run it all back.
Well, we'll see what Warner does in post. We might have to run it back.
The last episode froze before I saved it, and we thought we were going to lose it. But it's good. It's there. You probably already listened to it if you're listening to this one. But yeah.
Praise God.
All right. Well, let's remind everybody what we remind them. And we're going to try to get it right for you, because you came up
with
the thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you listened recently. We get it wrong a lot.
Just every now and then. Yeah. And I'll get like so confused, because I'm like, I guess he's not taking my advice. And then like the next episode, I'm like, he took it.
Yeah.
All right.
So what is it, Zach? It's God's truth won't back down, and neither should you. Stay focused. Stay aggressive and stay relentless for God's glory.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
Love that.
Deuces.